This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
I want to share a passage with you quickly out of Zechariah 9, and then I'm going to go into 1 Corinthians, because the story of Palm Sunday is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. It's important for us to realize this, that 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, Zechariah the prophet prophesied the events that would take place on Palm Sunday. And there's always been an expectation of the heart of the Jewish people that the Messiah would one day come. But they did not expect Jesus to come. They did not expect the Messiah to come in the way that Jesus came. They envisioned the Messiah, the prophesied one, to come with authority to destroy the Romans and to establish their lost nationality. But it was completely opposite in the way that they had visioned it all. Instead of their Messiah coming to a palace, he came to a manger. Instead of coming with servants, he came to be served. Instead of a crown of gold, he would wear a crown of thorns. And so these events, and I'm going to read a passage for you here. I'm going to ask them to get Zechariah. Now they have it on the screen now. The events right before the triumphal entry took place. There was much celebration because I don't know if you are familiar with the background to the triumphal entry, but you have to remember this, that Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And we find that story in John chapter 11. And so because of he raising Lazarus from the dead, he was the talk of the town. Everybody in that known world was talking about him. In fact, there's a scripture in John 12, which took place right after him raising Lazarus from the dead, that says in John 12, 19, that the world has gone after him. So Jesus was, in the eyes of the people, a hero. He wasn't the Messiah to the Jewish people. But they thought him because he was such a powerful individual and could do these spectacular things. They thought him to be a temporary deliverer from the Romans. And it was at this time, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that it was now the appointed time, it was the fullness of time, to where he had to declare who he was publicly. It was time for him to do that. And so he chose this particular Sunday, this particular day. He was letting the people know that he was going to go to the cross voluntarily, that he would be the victor of the cross and not the victim. But in their blindness and in their unbelief, they decided to accept Jesus as the mighty one, but they rejected him as the holy one. However, they got together and they got these palm branches. They had heard of the great things he had done. And so they began to declare and wave these palm branches, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Zechariah 9:9, as the scripture says, this prophecy, 5 centuries before Jesus was born. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." Now, what Zechariah prophesied is what you have on your bulletin today. There are 4 things in this one verse that leaps joy to you and I as a believer. And I want you to notice the first one. He said this, "Behold, the king cometh, and I declare unto you today that the king is coming." The king is coming. King Jesus is coming. He's on the way. Time is running out for us. Time is running out for the world. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to get right and real with God, because "Behold, the king cometh." But number two, look what he said. "He is just." When I think about that, yes, he is a just man. He's righteous and holy. He's just in life. He's just in death. And he's just in judgment. He's a fair, merciful God. But the third thing, Zechariah said this, having salvation. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bring salvation to the world. He knew that the world was filled with religion. He knew that the world was filled with denomination. He knew that the world was filled with all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of ideologies. But he came on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. And he declared these words, out of all the denominations and out of all the religions and out of all the ideologies and myths and fables and stories, he said this, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The fourth thing that he said in this verse right here, he said that he would be riding, look at this, upon an ass, upon a donkey. There are four prophetic things that Zechariah declared in these scriptures. Now, have you ever wondered about that? Why didn't Jesus come riding in to Jerusalem on a blazing white stallion? Well, you have to remember this because horses were instruments of war back in those days. The donkey was a mere peaceable, humble animal. Jesus, by the way, the donkeys and the mules, they would carry the luggage, they would carry the clothing, they would carry the things needed for travel. You see, these donkeys, they would always be strapped down with weight. They would all be strapped down with the heaviness of the travel. They were very peaceable animals. And so what this typifies right here is that Jesus, when he came, he would be our burden bearer. He would be the one where all the burdens, all the weights, all of these testimonies, all of these broken hearts, all of these wounded lives, all of the scars, all the tears, all the troubles, all the trials of life, he would be the one where he would say, hey, cast all your care upon me. I'll bear your burden. I'll carry your load. And so he came not on a blazing white stallion, but on a peaceable, humble donkey, and he would be the one that would bear our burdens. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find the order of the Lord's table. And I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians 26, and I want all of our deacons to come forward and to be in place. The Bible says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty in body of the blood of the Lord. Now, how does somebody in here, and I have to personalize this today, I'm not responsible for the other congregations around the globe, but those in here today, let me say this. The way that you take communion unworthily is if you do not know Christ as your Savior. Because communion is not for the lost, it's for the righteous in Jesus. I don't have time to preach that sermon today. But before this meal actually took place, Jesus excused Judas from the table. Another way that you take communion unworthily is if you have unconfessed sin in your life and refuse by the beckoning of the Holy Spirit to get it right. We'll talk about that real quickly in just a moment. And the Bible says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and that's what we're going to do in just a moment. These lights will be dimmed, beautiful music will be played, ultimately sang. But we will have a few moments here in the quietness to do exactly what verse 28 says, and that's examine ourselves. Here's the deal. Whatever's wrong, we need to get it right. And I will tell you this. If you do cast all your care upon Him, if you do lay it at His feet, remember this. He will not stand at your feet or at your presence with judgment. If you bring them to Jesus and you confess it, where you sit today, put it under the blood, He will forgive it. And He will remove it as far as the east is from the west. He will put it into the depths of the sea. He never remembers it again. And then look at this. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I have said it for 40 years. This word damnation, the connotation of this word is not hellfire. It doesn't mean that if you take communion unworthily, you're going to die and go to hell. But it does mean if you take it unworthily, knowing that there is a moment to sit here and get it right. Don't let this moment pass you by, because there is consequences of doing that. For this cause, in verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, you see, we have no fingers to point or stones to throw. Never worry about what somebody else is doing or saying or not doing or not saying. Listen, if we would spend time just worrying about ourselves, we would find out we won't have time to judge anybody else. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one another. And if any man hunger, I will let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest, and I love these precious words right here. To me, these are the three most sweetest words in the Bible. The rest I will set in order when I come. Not if I come. He's coming. Zechariah said the King is coming. He not only came the first time in Bethlehem of Judea, but one of these days He will split the eastern sky. The trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Friend, I hope you are in that number. If you're not, ask Jesus to come into your heart right now, to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. And friend, the Word says in Revelation 3:20 that if you open your heart's door, He said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," He said, "I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Listen, don't leave here today without Jesus. Every person here today has an opportunity to open your heart. Yes, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I ask you, Lord, to be my Savior. Come into my heart. And I promise you, He will do it.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.